Sports Corner on ESPN 100.3 New Orleans.
Good morning to everyone in Southeast Louisiana. It's the Sports Corner brought to you, as always, by the Terrebonne General Medical Center Community Sports Institute right here on ESPN 100.3, 1600 AM KLEB, 102.7 KLEB, and all the usual places you could find us on your Saturday mornings. Casey Justclair here with Stan Gravois. We have a jam-packed show coming your way. In 15 minutes, we will have Ellender Memorial Boys Basketball Coach Cornell Scott on the line. We called Coach Scott's game last night with South Lafourche. His Patriots got a victory. They're really good. We'll talk about that a little more in this segment. In segment three, we will have Homer Christian boys basketball coach Nate Fry on to talk about his team and then also some exciting things in the world of business that Nate has going on. Nate has always been very wise beyond his years and looking towards the future, and he's got a lot going on, so we'll talk to Nate about that at 30 after. Then at 45 after, we will have the coach on the other side of that Ellender-South Lafourche game. That would be Coach Brian Colley. His Tarpons played strong, just came up a little bit short against an Ellender team last night on the road. And then hour two, we've got a lot to discuss. The Saints are kicking the tires on Matt Stafford. They've, you know, kicking the tires on Mac Jones, and they're trying to figure some things out at the quarterback position. We'll break all that down. LSU has finally finalized their coaching staff. Nichols football. Basketball is all roaring into high gear, getting ready to just kick off football. Basketball is in the middle of conference, and the men are near the top of the league with a huge game coming today. And then at the bottom of the show, we'd be remiss if we did not talk about the Super Bowl, which is going to be next Sunday, 8 days from today. We've got, we all finished 1-1 in our picks. I picked the two underdogs. One of the two underdogs made it there. That'd be Tampa Bay taking on the behemoth Kansas City Chiefs. But Stan, good morning, man. Hope you're well. Last night it was a fun night in the high school basketball scene. We were in the 4A gym calling, Taylor and I were calling South Lafourche and Ellender. Ellender gets the district sweep, and spoiler alert for anybody in the area who's wondering, their boys and their girls are both exceptional. They showed it last night. Their girl scored 70 points in scoring a 16-point win. That any girls team that could even score 70 points, it shows the strength that you have, much less doing it against a formidable foe. And then the boys have just enough inside, outside, Preston Board, DeAndre Thomas, 1-2 punch to get a victory over the Tarpons, defend their home floor, and stay undefeated in district play. But we'll talk to Cornell about this. It was kind of a wild week for Ellender, and what I mean by that is, you beat Assumption and South Lafourche, which is maybe your two biggest district rivals. But in between that, you had a midweek game against Helen Cox where you lose by 30-plus. So kind of an odd week for Ellender. They had kind of the best of both worlds, and I'm curious to see what Coach Scott has to say when we have him on in a minute.
I wouldn't suspect that he would probably have played that Cox game in another year. Being that it's COVID, you try and play every game you can. So coming off of that really tough game against Assumption, where it was an overtime game on Tuesday, they played on Wednesday against Helen Cox. I just don't see that happening in another year, maybe because of the pandemic this year. And then knowing you had South Lafourche at the end of the week on Friday, and you knew that was going to be another tough game. So it's a little odd that they did that, but we'll find out from him a little bit more about that. And actually, I was sort of with you guys at the gym because I was tuning in and out. I was not there for the entire game listening to you guys, but did listen to your call last night, Casey, and one of the questions I certainly am going to have for Coach Scott is we hear about Thomas, you know, and I hear other coaches in this area talk about the athleticism of a Royal Williams and an Orion James. But, boy, I got to tell you, last night you mentioned it a couple of times, Preston Borda was sort of the guy. He's sort of the straw that stirs the drink. So I'd be curious to hear what Coach Scott has to say about that. And the other thing that surprised me just a bit last night. Now, listen, I know that H.L. Bourgeois is not in any kind of cycle right now as far as having the numbers of basketball kids, and I know they're not very big, but, boy, the way they got beat last night by East St. John was a little bit of a surprise to me because usually Coach Calhoun's teams sort of hang around, and that one wasn't close last night. So, yeah, there are some surprises. The one thing, and I'm sure we'll talk to Coach Calhoun about it too, is they probably made the biggest jump to get into the bracket of maybe any team in any division or classification to go from, I don't know, what they were mid-40, if I'm not mistaken, Casey, and, yeah, and now they're actually in the top 32, so that's pretty awesome.
I'm so excited to ask him about that because I don't even know if he's aware of that. He's so laser focused on one game at a time and, you know, not even watching film until it's, you know, game day of the next, or not game day, but, you know, leading up to the game of the next game. And I don't know if he's even aware of that. So I will be very excited to hear his answer to that. Stan, it's, you know, so interesting because, like, our 5A district, you know, you mentioned H.L. Bourgeois and East St. John, but other than that, it's still kind of lockdown. There's not a whole lot going on. You know, everybody's kind of having their own issues and starting to get out of it. Hopefully this means that the worst for that district is you know, going to be behind us here in the future, and then we won't have any issues leading into the stretch run.
Yep, I agree that that district is just sort of sputtering along, and every time you think you could gain some traction, there's nothing there. You know, and when you go look at scores late on a Friday night just to sort of catch up, you're seeing there's nothing there. And the other thing is we mentioned it before, to jump from, you know, and the best way I could describe this is in past years, if you were sitting at 44 at this time of the year, say in a given PowerPoint range, we knew you were not going to be in the playoffs. I don't know that this year. Seeing what Coach Colley and the Tarpons did by really gaining some traction in 1 week makes me realize that for us to sit here and guess who's going to be in the playoffs and who's not is probably a mistake, because we just don't understand how it's going to shift in a certain amount of time. And we also mentioned Ellender playing a Wednesday game. In past years, you would not have a lot of teams that are playing three games in a week. And this year you sort of do it because you feel like you have to play them when they come up, because you may not get to play them otherwise. You know, if Cornell Scott does not play that game on Wednesday night against Cox, he stands the chance that if something would have happened, say, with the South LaFouche squad or even his own squad, with them having the contact trace or such, that he may not have played on Friday night. So, again, you play him when you can, and that makes this thing all kind of sort of weird, you know. But heck, we're getting used to the weird now, so I guess we just move on and let the chips fall where they may, and we'll see how it all pans out.
On the girls' side of things, man, Ellen, they're so good. They're so deep. I mean, last night Singleton was strapped with fouls, so the Banks kid makes like 6 or 7 three-pointers. And, you know, then they get this Jassy Jenkins, who's like a hybrid, a forward who could handle the ball, and she could shoot three-pointers. She's making shots. They got the Ross kid making shots. And then, look, give credit to South LaFouche. Ava Petrie's out. Madeline Bourgeois's out. That's maybe your best guard and your best post. And they challenged him. It was a 10-point game with 5 or 6 minutes left, and then that's whenever Singleton comes back in the game. They spread the floor, isolation. She takes over late. They've just got too many players, man. And look, they're, in years past, and Taylor and I talked about this, in years past, you could maybe beat Ellender in a close game because they wouldn't be able to slow the game down. Maybe they would miss some free throws. Maybe they would have some turnovers. Not this year, man. This is a very disciplined team, and Coach Dixon's got those girls pulling in the right direction. And they got a big win over their rivals last night.
And here's what's even more interesting about that. If you are from this area, you understand that Oaklawn Junior High, which is now basically a middle school because Ellender is certainly from 9th through 12th, Oaklawn is the feeder school for those girls. When you see Oaklawn have a super girls team, say as 8th graders, you better watch out, because Kenneth Dixon's going to do something with those girls that's unbelievable. Well, that's not the only time he does something that's unbelievable. Oaklawn, for the last few years, has not been particularly great. They've been very mediocre, average of the road, so to speak. So what he's doing with that group now is really phenomenal. Watch out if Oaklawn sort of gets it together and has that kind of talent level that comes in. And now there's another little school that has opened up, actually, in the home area, Grand Canyon Middle. Not opened up, but opened up to sports. They're actually competing, and that's another feeder school that's going to go to Ellender. So that being said, when those schools are really good, Ellender is, like, way good. When those schools are sort of mediocre, Ellender's just very good, if that makes any kind of sense. And obviously that's due to what Kenneth Dixon does with that team, and certainly they're good again this year. And not only are they good, they're always better when it's playoff time than what they were throughout the year. Because there are a lot of teams that are really good at the beginning of the year and they sort of fade. Not an Ellender team. Both boys and girls, quite honestly, they get better as the year goes on. So it would not surprise me to see that team make a deep run in the playoffs.
You know what's exciting to me is that, you know, and I told Taylor this off the air last night, is that, you know, the game's over. It was not the game over. It was at halftime of the girls' game. And Coach Dixon's having a little meeting with Gus Brown before going into the lockers to talk to his team. And the entire walk from his bench to his locker room, he is cracked up laughing, talking to Coach Brown, cutting up. Then he stops at our table for a little while, talks to us for a little while. And then we were during a commercial at the time, and I stopped and I said, Taylor, I want that. And he's like, what are you talking about? I want to be 70-plus years old or whatever Coach Dixon. He's got to be approaching 70 if he's not there and have that joy, man. The guy's been doing it for such a long time. He's got championships, you know, out the wazoo. He tried to retire once, couldn't do it because he missed it too much. I want to be of that age and still have that passion, man. He still loves what he does. You can see it's dripping off of him.
I've coached and taught in Terrebonne Parish for quite some time and never really knew Coach Dixon. I had other coaches who worked at Ellen DeHaye who said, this guy is like what you shoot for as how he works with his kids, their respect they have for him, his work ethic. And I always knew. I mean, obviously he retired at one point, sat out for a year and came back, you know? So yeah, I agree with you. His age has got to be up there. The time I got to really sit down with him was probably about 5 years ago, 6 years ago, whenever I took the job over at Terrebonne General, actually. And we sat down and we were talking about something and we ended up chatting for an hour and I got it. You know, that's when I was like, oh, this is why they're so successful. Because he started talking about some of his practice regimen and this and that. He's got that fine line of I am the coach of these girls. I'm not their friend necessarily, yet I'm there for them, you know, in life. And he just walks that fine line with them. And he certainly knows basketball and he certainly knows fundamentals and technique. And I love hearing about coaches with that. As a matter of fact, you know, we talk about this a little bit, and unfortunately it was a bad situation. I know with Coach Kale and very emotional losing his dad. Bobby Hebert actually on the Sports on the Bayou show talked about what a great fundamental guy he was, and that's what I love to see in basketball. Those kids who move the right way, who are in the right spots, who just don't go down and, you know, jack up three-pointers all the time. And that's what you get from Ellender, and they're going to be good. I'm telling you, when the playoffs come around, expect a deep run from that team.
In our 5A district, Thibodaux beat Central Lafourche last night 44-39. You can actually see photos of that game on the Lafourche Gazette website. And then in our 5A district, East St. John beats H.L. Bourgeois by 4. On the 4A district, as we said, Ellender beats out Lafourche. Assumption beat Vanderbilt 42-33. Waiting for a result from South Terrebonne and Morgan City. I know they had played earlier in the week in South Terrebonne and beat them, waiting for a return result there. On the boys' side, it was Morgan City beating South Terrebonne in a close, hard-fought game. So let's go ahead and catch a commercial break. When we get back, we're going to go to East Houma. We're going to have Cornell Scott on the line. I know he's got to be happy. His team darn near pretty much took control of the 4A district this past week, beating Assumption and South Lafourche. It's the Sports Corner, brought to you by TGMC Community Sports Institute on ESPN 100.3.
This year, we're celebrating Mardi Gras in our heart.
And we want you to celebrate it with us.
I love working here.
Here's what we're going to do.
Name it and win it.
Lori has a fabulous new pendant we're currently calling the Circle of Love.
And I want you to help me come up with a better name.
Name it and win it.
Just go to Ramsey's.com and search for the Circle of Love.
And then come up with a better name for it, okay?
While you're there, take a look at the Ring of the Crescent City.
It's a diamond fleur-de-lis inside a beautiful crescent moon.
And this showstopper of a ring is just $159.
It's a new addition to the NOLA collection.
We also have a new I Love You to the Moon and Back ring.
That matches our magical moon and back diamond pendant, still priced at just $99.
Where do they go to see all of this, Lori?
Ramsey's.com.
Did you say Ramsey's.com?
I did. I said Ramsey's.com.
The largest diamond store in Louisiana is Ramsey's. Ramsey's Diamond Jewelers on Veterans between Bonneville and West End in Metairie.
When you need health-related answers quickly, you want the fastest, safest results possible. That's why Terrebonne General Medical Center is the only facility in the state to offer the new GE Revolution Frontier Gen 2 CT scanner. This breakthrough technology presents medical professionals with the clearest images on the market while keeping patients safe and comfortable. To learn more about how TGMC is on the leading edge of healthcare, please visit TGMC.com.
This is Bart and Han 100%. Look at that. Look, camera, you can zoom into my eyeballs. Look into these mocha latte eyeballs. He is going to play 100%. He don't care what Brett Favre said, because Brett Favre, if he was in that situation, he would play as well with an opportunity to go to the Super Bowl. Guys would say, hey, I'll give up my pinky. You think Mahomes, he's just going to grow his hair out, probably put a perm in it so he have a little extra cushion.
Bart and Han, weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio and on ESPN Plus.
We were in the House of Pain last night covering the South Lafourche and Elle and their boys and girls basketball games. It's the Sports Corner brought to you by TGMC Community Sports Institute on ESPN 100.3. We have the Elle and their boys basketball coach on the line, Coach Cornell Scott. Coach Scott, good morning, man. How are you?
Good morning. How y'all doing?
Good, man. Good. Fun night for your team last night. Played well against South Lafourche. Got the win, defended your home floor, and stayed undefeated in district play. Talk about the night last night.
Oh, it was a good game. They pretty much did what they normally do. They came in and gave a pretty good game against us. We're just glad to come out with a win.
Talk about your week, because if we go back to Tuesday, a big one against Assumption, then you did play Helen Cox. In a normal year, Coach Scott, would you have done that? Would you? Because obviously between Assumption and South Lafourche, and you probably wanting to certainly compete in district, would you have put a Helen Cox in there like that?
No, I would not have done that. And that kind of hurt us a little bit. But you know what? With this new COVID stuff, you know, we had to kind of adjust, and we had to reschedule that game. And I knew it was going to be tough. And I was just hoping my guys kind of withstood the pressure. But after a tough game against Assumption came in and played very well. You know, to go back on another night and play another tough team, that was hard.
Coach, the Thomas kid gets so much of the headlines, but we talked about this on the air last night. I think the Borda kid is kind of the motor that makes the engine go. He's all over the place, offense, defense, doing so many things. He kind of gets overlooked, doesn't he? He's a hell of a player, man.
He is an outstanding player, and he does get overlooked. And, you know, I talk with his dad about that a lot, you know, and he's played on, like, the Nike circuit along with him. And, you know, he really does get overlooked. But he is a defensive machine. But now people are starting to see his offensive side. You know, when teams are starting to take away DT, you know, he really steps up and he becomes that next man up for us.
Would you say that the three games this week were all a little different? Obviously, we know that South Lafourche's team is going to be that patient kind of team, and I can't speak to Helen Cox per se, but I knew you had the task of taking care of Jaden Tala whenever y'all played Assumption. So each game presented a different problem. Was it a matter of you guys having to adapt to who you were playing, and it was a different kind of game each game out? Because no three of those teams are exactly the same, right?
No, and it really was, and that's why I love playing South Lafourche. And you know, I used to like to play Eddie White and schools like that, because it makes us have to pay attention to detail, and that's going to help us deep in the playoffs. Because let's say we play a team like that, but then when you play a Helen Cox, who is just as aggressive and athletic, and Assumption, who is just about the same, you know, that kind of shows you where you are in different aspects. You know, can you run the offense against a South Lafourche team who's going to be disciplined? Or, you know, can you get into up and down game like Helen Cox or Assumption when they want to get out and run? So it does present different challenges, especially when you're not able to practice like that. So I was proud of my guys. Even with the loss against Helen Cox, I was still proud of them.
Coach, we had Derek Zush on last week, an assistant in Hanville, and he said that they're trying to – like do some special things at the end of the year to limit how much they play and everything, to ensure that whenever it's playoff time, they're not going to be in quarantine. You guys are in the same boat. You've got a chance to win it all. You're number 9 in 4A. Are you guys taking any special provisions to try to protect your exposure before the playoffs start?
Well, you know, we've done some things in school. You know, we try to tell our kids to be, you know, conscious about where they are outside of school. You know, so I try to control what I can in school, and, you know, by, you know, just getting – preferential seating, you know, something like that, you know, to where they're not in close contact with any kids. But, you know, our administration is doing an outstanding job with kind of monitoring that. And really, you know, we haven't really had many cases. You know, you have a couple of cases. I think that's with everybody. But, you know, I think ours are low, you know, and that goes back to our administration, the job that they're doing.
In the past, and talking to some of the coaches, and I don't know if we've ever really spoken to you about this, but Coach Clark and Coach Cayuette, and even Coach Gautreaux, who was at Ellender with you for a while way back when, they all mentioned that sometimes playing in a New Orleans area was a good thing because the association is a little different, and maybe those officials there let you be a little bit more physical. Or you play in an arena-type gym where, you know, the backboards are not close to the walls there and things like that. I know you did go to Sunkiss, but is that a matter of still playing in a high school gym? And have y'all had that opportunity to play in that kind of, I don't know, that arena that you might see when you get to the playoffs?
Yeah, see, we didn't this year. Normally, and they had a couple of opportunities. But when my kids were in football, you know, we had to push some games back. But, you know, I kind of learned that from Scott. You know, we used to play in different areas, and now I understand why. Because, you know, let's say when we're in our association and we're playing, and then the very next night you go to New Orleans area, and the calling is totally different. You know, my kids really had to adjust, and I don't think that they adjusted well to that, you know, at that time. So it's good for them to go out and see different styles and different, you know, referees, because when we're in the playoffs, we're not going to see our referees.
Coach, the next 7 days or so, you've got a lot of basketball to play. I see South Terrebonne, Morgan City, and then Booker T. Washington Tournament in New Orleans. Tell us a little bit about what's going on in the city next weekend.
Yeah, it's a little classic that Booker T. is putting on, and, you know, we're playing that game against them. You know, and it's kind of going to put their big guy against our big guy. You know, I think that's his name is Kyron. You know, so you know, I've been trying to showcase DT, and he's going to have to go out and go perform against another 6'9 kid. So we're going to see how that works.
And just in general, at this point of the year, you pretty happy with the way y'all are playing? Or you see room for improvement that maybe has to get done quick for y'all to make a deep run in the playoffs?
Yeah, I'm pretty happy. You know, to say that we've had limited practices and, you know, we're playing a bunch of games and not practicing. My guys, along with our record, you know, it's pretty good. You know, it's, I think we're putting ourselves in a situation where they haven't even peaked yet. So I'm seeing a lot of growth with them, and I think that we're going to be doing pretty good well come playoff time.
Coach, I'm looking at this. You guys had maybe the weirdest district schedule I've ever seen. Almost your entire first round is at home, which means the entire second round is going to be on the road. You play your final home game Tuesday, then you got 2.5 weeks of nothing but road games leading into the playoffs.
Yeah. Well, you know what? That's the hand I was dealt. I don't know why it switched, but we're going to go out and play it. And hopefully that might, you know, put a little fire under us. You know, it could be good or bad, you know, but then when we'll come back in the first round, we should have a home game. So I think that'll help us out. Yeah.
Very good. And you wrap it all up in first round with South Terrebonne, which I know is a rival game. And South Terrebonne is a better program than what they have been probably in a few years. Any thoughts of your kids looking past that and looking towards the second round before they finish the first round?
No, well, that's what we're preaching. You know, it's the next game, you know, so we try not to look past anybody, and you really can't look past South Terrebonne at all. And, you know, Caleb does a great job over there. But my guys, you know, if everybody plays as well in district, you know, so they know what they're going to get. They know they're not stocked, and the coaches prepare well. So, you know, we're not fooling anybody on what kind of pressure we're going to bring. So, no, it's going to be a pretty good game.
Coach, thanks so much for the time, man. Good luck the rest of the way. We'll have you on again before the playoffs.
All right. Thank you very much.
Take care. That is Coach Cornell Scott with the Ellender Memorial Patriots, doing a great job as always. He touched on something that I wanted to shout out, and I said this on the air a couple times last night, but the folks who were not listening, I want to say it here on the big network, ESPN 100.3. They do the best job of anyone in the 4A district of following the COVID protocols. They're checking temperatures. They've got hand sanitizer everywhere. There are janitors that are wiping down the railings and the doors during the games, and they're very cognizant of everything. So kudos to the Ellender staff. And, you know, we've heard from coaches all year long, hey, we've got to do these things if we want to have a season. They're doing their part in a big way. So far, we've been to almost every school in the district, and far and away, they're the ones that are being the most proactive so far that I've seen.
Yeah, and I'm going to give a little shout-out to Bo Wallace, who is their athletic trainer there. He's very, very professional, and he does a good job, and he works with those guys there doing that too. So, yeah, kudos to them, and they understand that if they want to do something in the playoffs, you have to play to do something. So, yeah, I'm sure they're being very smart about what they're doing around the gym.
Stan, you've been around this for a long time, man. I've never seen a district schedule like Ellender has. The entire first round is at home. The entire second round is on the road. I've never seen that before, but it's blowing my mind. Like I'm looking at the schedule thinking that it has to be a misprint, but no, the entire first round of district play was at the House of Pain, and then now every single game in the second half is going to be on the road.
It's strange, and what's interesting about the whole thing is one, whenever I do look at the schedules of where the athletic trainers are going to be, because obviously that's my job during the day to see where they're going to be, I'm like, wait a minute, Bo's at home again. So Bo obviously being the athletic trainer at Ellender, I'm like, Bo's at home again. And then I went and looked at the overall cumulative schedule and realized it. And I think you could sense in Coach Scott's tone when you asked him that question that he was like, I don't know how this happened, but somebody didn't particularly like us when they made this schedule. But again, he's got a good attitude. This is a hand we were dealt. We're going to move forward. And I got to tell you, you know, it's nice to have this all under your belt. But again, it gives those teams a little bit of an opportunity. When I say those teams, the other teams in district, a little bit of an opportunity to realize that, wait a minute, those guys are going to be on the road the whole second round. Maybe we can make up some ground just a little bit. Yeah, that's strange. That shouldn't happen that way. That's for sure.
Be curious to see how that plays out. So let's catch a quick break. When we get back, we're going to go to home of Christian boys basketball coach Nate Fry. We're going to be asking him about the Christian Warriors, but also about some things that he is going to be doing with TGMC and some things to try to help out the next generation of basketball players in the area. It's the Sports Corner brought to you by TGMC Community Sports Institute with Nate Fry after this break on ESPN 100.3.
What happened was unthinkable. Work as we know it powered down. But E-Tail is here to keep business on. On to turn your home office into a powerhouse. On to plan your epic power lunch. On to keep your virtual team connected. On to make you unstoppable. This is the one thing E-Tail business can do for you, and that's connecting you to work every day. E-Tail is on for business.
Medications can be scary sometimes, but necessary for our health and well-being. Lady of the Sea Community Pharmacy's staff are trained in finding you the lowest cost available on your medications. Stop by with your prescriptions or medicine bottles and let one of us review your options. Patients who take their medications as prescribed have better health outcomes. Stop by one of our pharmacies today, located in Rouse's Supermarket on Highway 3235 in La Rose, or at Lady of the Sea Medical Clinic in Cutoff. We treat you like family at Lady of the Sea.
Hey everyone, it's Gus Kattengill inviting you to be part of the Sports Hangover, weekdays from 12 to 3, right here on your home for Pelicans basketball. As the flagship station for your Pels, you can bet we'll have the latest from head coach Stan Van Gundy, Brandon Ingram, Zion, So, and the folks that cover the Pels for the best analysis around. We'll follow them every step of the way as they look to make a trip to the postseason. Plus, of course, we'll talk about the rest of the NBA. And we'll keep an eye on LSU, Tulane, UNO, and Nicholls College hoops as we get set for a very different March Madness. Plus, who will be crowned champion in the NFL? We'll follow the road to Tampa. College Diamond action? Yep, got you covered there as well. And remember, we want you to be a part of the show. So tweet us at ESPN Radio NOLA and answer Jordan the Intern's question of the day. Call us at 800-998-1003. Listen in on radio, the TuneIn Radio app, or online at ESPN100.3.com. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill. Weekdays, 12 to 3 on ESPN New Orleans.
And welcome back to the Sports Corner brought to you by TGMC Community Sports Institute here on ESPN 100.3. Casey just there with Stan Gravois. And we have on the phone lines Nate Fry, home of Christian boys basketball coach, one of my good buddies. Nate, good morning, man. How are you?
What's going on, man? How you doing? It's And we got Greg White on here with us too. My boy, longtime friend, college basketball player. We're doing good though. Doing great this Saturday morning.
Perfect. So we got two very talented individuals on the line, Nate and Greg. You guys are, I understand from Stan, going to be doing some exciting things here in the future. Give us a little bit of a rundown of what you got cooking, man.
Oh, yeah, definitely. So I've been doing player development for a number of years now. And with kind of with the coronavirus, as the training expands, I wanted to turn it more into, you know, a business type thing. And when I was looking for help, I was just probably just going to hire some people, some management type people to help me run the business. And then guy kind of brought Greg back down in a form of fashion. And he was like, well, man, let's go ahead and do this together. And when I thought about it, it was crazy. We were already teammates back in high school. It's kind of like we're back on the same team. But Alpha Omega is a brand. The mission of the brand is to kind of get kids out of the house and to tackle childhood obesity. Now, we're not doctors of any sort, but we are basketball players, and that's the best way we know how to tackle that situation, is to get kids out of the house and back in the gym, back in the streets playing basketball. So we're eyeing a 7,000 square foot facility in the area of Houma, Louisiana. It's exciting. That we're going to have about 8 goals, a full-size basketball court, where we can provide kids with the best quality training, best quality basketball training.
And just to give Greg's background a little bit, Greg was with you at Houma Christian as a player for a while, but went back to the New Orleans area, if I'm not mistaken, at Holy Cross, was a 5A player of the year. And I know Greg can speak to this a little bit. So, Greg, you're going to come back to the area in Houma and be part of this with Nate, right?
Yes, sir.
And your role specifically related to all of this, because I would imagine there's going to be a lot of technique and fundamental and things like that related to basketball in the Alpha Omega Training Center. Talk a little bit, again, about what your mission is and what y'all hope to accomplish and what y'all have to bring to the table, so to speak.
Thank you, Stan. So really what we want to do, my role is pretty much the operation of the whole gym and the brand. What we want to do, we want to bring a world-class training facility to Houma of the Tri-Paris area, a place where we would always want to go train, places that other big cities have. We just want to bring this type of location to where we're from.
Fellas, I am nodding as you guys are talking about, you know, fighting the childhood obesity and everything, because I'm so proud and happy to hear that, because it's so desperately needed in our area. The question that I would have for you guys is, there are so many excuses to be lazy as a kid. You've got an iPhone, you got an iPad, you got a PlayStation 4, you maybe even have a PlayStation 5, you have this gizmo, that gizmo. There are so many outlets to not get up off your behind and go exercise. How are you going to motivate these kids to want it?
Well, I think the biggest thing right now, the one thing that's going to pull these kids is social media. But even with my players at school, I always see them looking down at their phones at, you know, the next player from whatever corner of the United States and their highlights and everything. And that's going to be the main way to pull them. Each training session will feature a player or a couple of individuals training with a 4K camera. Much like what you see on Ball is Life or House of Highlights and stuff like that. And like Greg said, world-class. And usually when you talk about world-class, you got to have great marketing, great advertisement. And you can't – if you're going to provide a product, you want to provide a great one. Like I said, social media marketing and just making sure whenever the kids come in, we got the music going. It just provide a great environment for working out and training. I know for me, when I train, especially in college, and Greg can attest to this, whenever we go in to work out and go get our individual workout, man, we got the music going. It's the atmosphere that you provide for the kids to get them to come in. And they do want to get better, Stan and Casey. I don't think there's any kid that plays basketball or any sport for that matter that just wants to be mediocre. But when they come in, I want them to feel like they've gotten better. They come in as their alpha and leave as their omega, or however long they decide to stay with the company, which is the kind of the name behind it. And just motivating the kids. You know, I'm around kids all the time at Houma Christian. And so just you'd be surprised how much of a motivating word can get them to just work harder than they've ever done before. So that's kind of the goal.
Very Very good. Very good. And by the way, for everybody who doesn't know out there, Nate obviously started over at UNO, and Greg went on and played at North Texas State. Is this any way, and this is for either one of you guys, is this any way an extension of what your dad did, Nate, as far as his hoop camps and the series of camps he had in the summer, and maybe seeing that there's a market for this out there where kids would come in just for camps, and now it's something where maybe they could do it a little bit more year-round, or at least not year-round, if not year-round, maybe seasonally?
Greg, I'll answer this one. When I came back, I think the 4 years that I was at New Orleans, I would ask Coach Blessinger if I could go down and help work my dad's camp. And one of the things that we noticed was that, you know, we would get in about 40 or 50 kids, but some of them would just need a little bit more attention. And so that's where I would come in. You know, a college kid, I really didn't have no any money like that. So my dad would allow me to take those, you know, 15, 20 kids and break them up throughout the day and just work with them in smaller groups. It's almost like how it is in school. Sometimes you have a kid that needs a little bit more extra tutoring, that needs a little bit more one-on-one attention. You can't expect every kid to pick up on it the first time. You'd be ludicrous to think that. So we saw the market for that coming in. And the other thing is that we really don't have anything like that at home right now. You know, we have LBA. Big shout-out to Josh Constone. He's doing some great things over there at LBA. We got the facility in Thibodeau for baseball. You know, we got the soccer fields and the baseball fields that were just built off of 311. So there's an advancement of all these other sports going up in Houma, and we just want to catch basketball back up. So, yeah, the market, I saw a market for it kind of during the summer when we were doing hoopla where the kids just needed a little bit more one-on-one attention, and I wanted to provide that service year-round. It won't just be single. It will be year-round.
Gentlemen, I know that there are a lot of parents who are listening right now, and they're going to be wondering, well, man, how do we become a part of that? Give them a rundown of if they want to get a hold of you guys and find out more information. What do they have to do?
Yeah, go ahead, Greg.
Well, once this interview is over, we will be releasing our website. And if they have any questions, they can give Nate or I a call at 985-713-5090. Follow the Facebook page, the Instagram page, and the YouTube page. That will be up tonight.
So it's probably just a matter of time before we could go to Google, and if we look up Alpha Omega Training and HOMA, it'll lead us to this, right?
Correct, yeah. If you go to alphaomegatraining.net, you will see kind of pictures of some of the kids that we're currently training right now, a picture of me and Greg, so you can put a name to a face, and contact information at the bottom of the website and an email that you can reach out to us at.
Very good.
Fellas, there's so much basketball talent in this area, and you know, I'm getting excited because I'm thinking, you know, the last several years we've seen 3, 4, 5 schools make deep playoff runs on the boys and girls levels, and now to think that talent is going to even have an opportunity to be further refined, man. Local trophy cases may be getting full up here in the next couple of years, man. You guys are doing a great thing.
That's the goal.
And we do want to make sure that this is not it's for boys and girls, right?
Yeah, boys and girls and adults. So we're going to have training session times, but we're also going to have an open gym theme too as well. So once the kids leave, the adults can come in and take over the gym.
Very good. Very good.
And Nate, before we let you go, we'd be remiss if we didn't ask you about Houma Christian boys basketball. How are you guys doing so far this season?
Oh, we're doing okay. I got some players that, like I said, have been training with me for quite some time. I know Chris Singleton has called a couple of times and asked about a couple of my players. Cullen Hendricks, who's a senior with me right now, is doing very, very well. I think he's averaging about 12 to 13 points a game. Connor Smith, who is a junior, who's been training me, I think, longer than any other kid. He's been training with me for about 5 or 6 years now. This is a kid who couldn't even reach the rim when we first started training from three, but he's averaging close to 17, 18 points a game right now. And it's just trying to get the rest of the team to kind of catch back up. We really have some solid pieces in our other seniors, Tyron Jones, Ian McKinley, and Hayden Verdon. These are guys that when we took a hit with our senior last year, Weston Spry, they really had to step up and mature really quickly. and then it's carrying on to this season. But we'll have a we're having a solid season, but next year is pretty much going to be our year. But I'm just proud of them. They continue to work hard. I challenge them every day with their basketball IQ, making sure that, you know, they come in with the right mindset. That's the thing I preach the most. Make sure you're coming in prepared to work. You can come in, you can walk into any gym just to shoot a basketball and run around. Anybody can do that. But just making sure that you're focused on two or three tasks or objectives to get your game right and you know, fulfill those to the maximum potential for that day.
Very good. Well, look, gentlemen, we thank you all so much for the time. We wish you all best of luck in your new venture. And I trust both you guys. I know it's going to be a great success, man.
Thank you so much for having us. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, we'll chat again soon. Y'all take care. Have a great weekend.
All right, you too.
That is Nate Fry and Greg White-Pittman doing a great job as always, y'all. I know that we got a lot of folks that are listening. And, you know, it's one thing to get on the radio and sound good and sound like you know what you're talking about. It's another thing to be able to walk the walk. And I am going to 100% stamp Nate Fry and Greg White-Pittman as two very good people. They know what they're doing. They're going. You could trust them with your kids is what I'm getting at. You could trust them to develop your children in the right way, learn the right techniques, the right fundamentals. Great people. And kudos to them. I hope this goes well. But with that being said, I have great confidence that it will go well.
Yeah, and if you've ever been to Hoopla camps in the summer, which is with Nate's dad, Freddie Fry, who everybody knows Freddie in the area. Freddie for a long time was a coach there at Homer Christian, but led Ellender Memorial to a state championship also as a head basketball coach at Ellender Memorial. Now he is a pastor in, I think, the Atlanta area or at least in Georgia somewhere. But if you ever went to Hoopla camps, you understand that they do it right. And Nate was right in that number, helping do that. You know, and Greg actually played for Coach Fry, Freddie Fry, when he was a lot younger. So, yeah, there's a lot of tie-in there, and those guys certainly are going to do the right thing with the kids.
So that's exciting to hear. Let's go ahead and catch a quick commercial break. When we get back, we'll go from Homa to down the bayou in La Rose, where we'll have Brian Colley on the line. He'll talk about his week where the Tarpons won one and lost one, and they're getting back into the playoff chase. It's the Sports Corner brought to you by TGMC Community Sports Institute with Brian out of this break on ESPN 100.3.
You're invited to start 2021 right now on the new Toyota of your choice at Homa's number one dealer, Greg LeBlanc Toyota. Start browsing our online prices at GregLeBlancToyota.com for low online prices. You can get your top dollar trade-in value and low monthly payments with the click of a mouse. It's just that easy. If you're a new or returning customer, our friendly staff at Greg LeBlanc Toyota will make you feel right at home. Remember, when you go to Greg, you get the deal. Greg LeBlanc Toyota, Homa's number one new car dealer. GregLeBlancToyota.com.
Keep your business on the cutting edge with electrical supplies from Bayou Black Electric Supply in Homa. Bayou Black Electric Supplies has marine, oil field, and industrial electrical supplies. They have products ranging from marine, cable, lightning, and lots more, including Eaton Electrical. Many items for any project or repair. Count on superior service and lightning fast delivery. Bayou Black Electric Supply is your local electric connection, a division of Fleet Supply Warehouse, located on Highway 311 in Homa.
At Thibodeau Regional, we're proud to announce we've received HealthGrade's 2017 Outstanding Patient Experience and Patient Safety Excellence Awards. What's more, we're the only hospital in Louisiana to achieve both awards 4 years in a row. Why should this matter? Because it confirms two things: our commitment to quality and your satisfaction, both very important when it comes to your family's health care. Thibodeau Regional, once again recognized by HealthGrades for providing outstanding quality care. For more info, go to Thibodeau.com.
You know him?
To be honest with you, Fitz, this letter will not change a lot for me.
You love her.
There's no simple solution how to move forward. You mentioned if you could go back in time.
Sarah Spain, Jason Fitz, Spain and Fitz.
We're back.
He's not going to feel it the same way. It's like a Harden or a West.
Today is a dark, dark day for the New York Knicks.
He's allowed to benefit from the hype of us promoting him to MVP level.
And they let him go for nothing.
Spain and Fitz returns weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Our final coach of the day will be South Lafourche Boys basketball coach Brian Colley. It's the Sports Corner brought to you by TGMC Community Sports Institute with the South Lafourche Boys basketball coach and athletic director on the line. Coach Colley, good morning, man. How are you?
Good morning. Doing well.
Coach, it was a tough night for you guys last night. You go on the road and suffer a district defeat against the Patriots. Had some good moments, had some bad moments. Talk about the way your team played.
Yeah, you know, a tough night, a frustrated night for us. When you play Elam, you know what's coming, the pressure. And at practice, we tried working on it, and it's hard to simulate, that speed that they have and their quickness and athleticism. And we just, in practice, it's just tough to do. And, you know, at times we handled the press decent, and at times we did not. And we got to get better at doing it. And, you know, got to give credit to Elam that he took us out of our offense. And after, watching the film, I was really disappointed in the way I had our kids prepared. I need to do a better job of putting our kids in a better situation to have success. Last night, I definitely did not do that. You know, we'll get back at it and, practice tomorrow morning. We're going to work. And, as I always say this, we've got to put our kids in positions to have success. Last night, we didn't do it. And, our kids played hard. Dane Bordelon, Patrick Gisclair were on the floor, giving it all they had. Jackson Otan came off the bench again, gave us some good minutes. And just wasn't one of our better nights. But, Ellen, that had a lot to do with that.
You are always prepared when you play, and I know you see film on just about everybody. You mentioned last week that there were a couple of teams you played where there was an individual who kind of came out of nowhere and you wasn't right, like, ready for it per se. With Ellen, it's kind of strange because there's a lot of guys you got to get ready for. And I was listening to Casey and them on the broadcast last night talking about Preston Borda and how he was doing a lot of things. So I started thinking to myself, I wonder if Brian was ready for everything, or is it just a matter of they're so athletic that you just can't get ready for it? Did anything surprise you about that team last night, the Ellender team?
No, really didn't. But, Stan, the thing with Ellender, they have 4, 5, 6 kids that can score. And the thing that impressed me with Ellender, and you have to respect, is that their guys, they don't care who scores as long as the Patriots score. And if you look in the stat sheet, that's proven that, because, you got the Thomas kid that can go off for 30 any night, and you look in the box scores, but you got Board and all them other guys that have scored 15, 12, 14. And that's tough to defend, because you can't just rely on one or two guys. They can all score. They all scored, at least between 8 to 15 points a game, plus with Thomas's 20-something. So it's a challenge to play these guys.
Coach, there were a series of about 3 or 4 plays on offense and about 3 or 4 plays on defense that Taylor and I were kind of talking at the end of the game that were kind of the difference. You had some open floor turnovers, which led directly to some run-out dunks and layups for them. And then on the other end, you guys missed just some point-blank layups with no defense around you. If you just kind of cleaned those things up, it could have been a much tighter game in the fourth quarter. Is that kind of what you're telling your kids? Hey, man, we got to just make some little tweaks here and be ready for them the second go-around.
Yeah, it might have been a 15-point game. It could have gone maybe a little bit, stretched it a little at the end, but, they didn't. And we just wanted to just do a better job. And, we missed tons of, like you said, shots inside, and it's just Eleanor can score in bunches so quick. And if you look back there, Assumption game, I think Assumption was up like 9 in the fourth quarter. And, before you know it, Eleanor can tie the game and even had a chance to win it in regulation. So they score in bunches, and when you're playing a team like Eleanor, you got to try and limit them from scoring that quick. And at times we did, and at times we didn't with our turnovers. Just we need to do, a better job of handling their pressure. And, that second go-around, we'll get them at home. We'll be ready.
At the beginning of the show, we were speaking a little bit, and I don't know if there's any other team in the state of Louisiana who made a jump like you did, but you went all the way from mid-40s into the top 32 for the bracket. Casey said you may not even know that right now, because you're so focused on your team and not worried about that thing. But you would be in the playoffs if everything wrapped up right now, which is a great achievement. That being said, looks like you're going to have enough games to qualify. But, we got our fingers crossed. We're knocking on wood with that. But do you, because Casey also asked this of Coach Scott, do you kind of slow play this towards the end of the season to make sure that if you are going to be in the playoffs, you're not going to have any kind of COVID problems? Or do you go out and find somebody that you might schedule within the district games at the end just to get another game in there?
Well, first, I got to admit, Casey, I peeked at it because someone told me, like, you know, you got one before last in the past. What? We played like four or five, eight teams, I think, to start the year off. We won one of them. And so I just glanced at it and said, you know, it can't be. Then started looking at it and said, we don't have enough games possibly to get in right now. So I did kind of look, and I saw that we jumped up to 32. But right now, like Stan was saying, we should be okay if – we can play, you know, the rest of our district schedule. We'll have enough games to qualify. But the thing is, we got six games left, and three of those games, one against Ellen, then two against Assumption. So that's some of the top teams in our district. So it's definitely going to be a challenge for us to stay, you know, in that top. But, you know, we'll give it our all, and hopefully we can get in that playoff.
Coach, I don't know what all district teams are going to look like. I don't know, you know, what you know, how any of that's going to go down. But you've got a senior point guard who's just a solid high school basketball player who played super well this past week. Bordelon doesn't get talked about a lot, man, you know, but he just steadily pitches in that 8 to 13 points every game, protects the ball, plays solid on the floor, does, you know, great defensively. I'm going to give you an opportunity to brag on your senior, man, because I know a lot of folks in the area maybe don't recognize him very much. It's not, you know, a name that generates a lot of headlines, but he's just a solid high school basketball player.
He is, you know, thanks for bringing him up, because a couple of years ago, you know, he was playing, and after games, people would come up to him, who's that blonde-headed kid? He plays so hard. Yeah, that's Dane Bordelon. He's going to play hard, and he can really shoot the basketball, and he doesn't shoot it enough, you know, and I know some people out there criticize us for not shooting enough, but we tell our guys we open shoot it, but he doesn't shoot enough, and he just plays so hard. He's our point guard, and, you know, I give our point guard freedom. You know, we call different plays during the game, and a few times this year he called some good sets for us, and we had success. But he's also our charge champ. You know, he's going to sacrifice his body for the team, and I think he took two charges again last night. So he's, you know, Kendall Walker was right behind him in that charge champ competition. Dane kind of put some separation in between them. But, yeah, he's a great high school basketball player, and you know, he does well for us, and he leads our team.
So how are you going to stop Jaden Collar on Tuesday night?
Well, I was talking to our coaching staff last night when we got back. We started watching the film, you know, what we had on Assumption. And I kind of told him, I said, you think the referees would notice if we play with six people on the court? and we kind of, well, it's going to be a challenge. He's a special player, and he also has some guys around him that can score the basketball. And it's, you know, it's going to be a challenge, quick, athletic guys again. And, you know, we'll have a few different things that we can, we're looking at doing. We're going to see at practice tomorrow how it goes. But he's definitely got our attention. Yeah, we're going to have to definitely stop him. And, you know, for us to have a chance to win, we cannot allow him to get his 30 points a game. And some of those role players that they have, if they chip in, you know, 12, 15 points. They got three guys that can really score in double figures each game, and if we allow them to get those three in double figures, it's going to be a tough time for us to win a game.
Coach, it feels like forever ago you guys were playing that Thibodeau game to open up your season on December the 2nd. So much has happened between now and then, but we're already in the final stretch of the season. This has either been the fastest or slowest high school basketball season, depending on what perspective you're looking at it. But, man, we're already in the stretch run, aren't we?
Yeah, it's been a crazy year. You know, and then we say this one game at a time. It's just been so much an emotional year for us that I'm so proud of our kids, the way they fought through everything that was thrown at us. And, you know, hopefully we get a chance these last six games to get on our court and you know, show people around that we're a good basketball team, and hopefully we can get some proof by that and getting in the, you know, the top 32.
I'll ask you something real quick about a team that's sort of an outlier, and I don't know if this is just my perception to both you, Brian, and to Casey. I just feel like in District 8-4A, we have all of these teams, and we all know about each other. And if South Terrebonne is getting a little better in basketball, we sort of know it, and maybe we could quell it by getting ready for that game and play it. We know what Ellender is because Ellender is always Ellender. And Vanderbilt Catholic's got a new coach, and we know this, and we understand that Jaden Toller's over there at Assumption, and we get all of this stuff. But Morgan City sits out there, and I don't know that I can name a player on Morgan City's team right now. That being said, they seem to be right on the margin of not being a bad team, that they can maybe spoil something along the way. Any thoughts on them? Because you won three district games in a row, and I know the Morgan City was a big one earlier this week.
Yeah, look, Morgan City has a young man that can take over a game, and he was, I think it's, he was off when we played him, when we played them. Look, Dane Bordelon was guarding him and did an outstanding job on him and kind of had him frustrated and threw his shot off. But if he gets hot, the other guys get hot on that team, and they got a big guy inside. They can play in and outside, and there's a challenge. And we, I think, you know, luckily for us that we had a, we played a very good second half against them, and we got some easy baskets toward the end. But, you know, Morgan City was cold on us. But if they get hot and shooting the basketball, they can definitely win a few games in that second round. And look, they're close to the top 32. I think they might be like 36 or something like that. And what they won last night, so that's going to bump them up a little bit more. So, yeah, you cannot forget about Morgan City.
Coach, thanks so much for the time, man. Enjoy your weekend, and we'll see you on Tuesday, brother.
Appreciate it. Y'all have a good one.
You too. That is South Lafourche Boys Basketball Coach Brian Colley chatting with us, as always, on Saturday mornings. I could vouch for him, man. Morgan City's got some guys. That was a now the Tarpons ballooned that one out late once Morgan City changed to man-to-man defense, which the Tarpons carved up. But Willie, when Coach Brian Colley was talking about Dane Bordelon, you shot me a text, said you wanted to brag on Dane a little bit. What you got, man? I know you've been knowing Dane for a long, long time.
Yeah. Every Monday we play basketball at Community Bible. It's a church down here that opened up, and I remember calling the game with you last year, and I was watching them play. I was like, man, like. I like his style, and a lot of people, like a lot of grown men, come to play at Community Bible, and there's a couple high school kids, and I'm always a captain because I like to choose my own destiny of who I'm playing with, and out of all everybody in there, I made sure I picked him first because I just love his play style. I love the way he play. Like I seen him the other day, I was just like, I gotta catch a game because I love his play style, and that's why I wanted to brag on him. I love the way he played the game of basketball.
He's smooth, man. He's smooth. He'll give you 8 to 12 points, 4 or 5 assists. He'll be the best defender on the court. He's smooth. So that's going to wrap up hour one of the show. When we get back, we are going to talk about some interesting things going on. You know, we heard of, Sean Payton's been saying it's going to be Taysom Hill, and Drew Brees seemed to hand the baton to Jameis Winston, but the Saints are kicking the tires on Matt Stafford. They're interviewing Mac Jones. They've got a lot going on. We'll talk about all those different options in the beginning of hour two. It's the Sports Corner brought to you by TGMC Community Sports Institute on ESPN 100.3.
Hi, this is Sydney and Trip Lee with AC Ambulance. Winter is here. That means it's time to have your heater cleaned and checked. Are you tired of your old system? This is the perfect time to upgrade. Our prices are at the lowest this time of the year. So call AC Ambulance for a free estimate on a new high-efficiency Daikin system backed by a factory 12-year parts and labor warranty and financing to fit any budget. Don't wait till your attic is 130 degrees.
Don't take a chance. Call the ambulance today at 467-1400. That's 467-1400.
Everyone, Gus Cattingill here for Men's Total Health. With the new year comes new resolutions. One of them needs to be visit Men's Total Health. Low T can produce physical and emotional changes. Get tested. I did. See where you stand. Men's Total Health can help you be your best self by providing testosterone therapy, annual physicals, help with ED, even IV therapy. Visit Men's Total Health today, located at 3829 Veterans in Metairie, behind the Fidelity Bank building. They accept all major insurances, so call or go online at menstotalhealth.net and let them know the Sports Hangover sent you.
In our current COVID-19 climate, it's time to think differently about employee health, and Terrebonne General Medical Center's Workplace Readiness Team is here to help. With over 65 years of trusted leading-edge experience, we are here to provide the resources you need to keep your workforce healthy and prepared with COVID-19 testing, employee health risk screenings, cleaning protocols, a nurse hotline, and much more. A healthy workforce is a productive workforce. Schedule your workplace readiness assessment by calling 850-6214 or visit tgmc.com.
It's the Sports Corner brought to you by TGMC Community Sports Institute here on ESPN 100.3. We want to thank Cornell Scott, Nate Fry, and Brian Colley, and also Greg White for joining us in hour one of the show. Hour two of the show is going to talk a lot of football and LSU, the Saints, and, you know, we'll talk about the Super Bowl. But, gentlemen, you know, one thing that I like the most about the NBA, and we're not going to talk NBA in this segment, but it's just kind of a lead to where we're going. One of the things I like the most about the NBA is that the offseason is as exciting as the actual season, and that, you know, you're following who's going to go where and free agency. And the NFL offseason kind of stinks. You know, it's not as exciting. You know, free agency is kind of, you know, not a whole lot of movement because you could franchise players. There's not really big trades in the NFL. This offseason is going to be a little bit different, though. You've got Deshaun Watson, who is axed out. You've got Matt Stafford, who the Lions have sort of agreed to move on from him. You've got the flirtations with Aaron Rodgers may be on the move. And the Saints are going to be playing heavily into all this stuff. There are reports out of New Orleans in the Atlantic that they have kicked the tires on Matt Stafford. And there are also reports in the Atlantic that they interviewed Mac Jones at the Senior Bowl this week. So I don't know if this is posturing. I don't know if they're trying to drive up the price for the other teams who are in the market or if they're genuinely interested. But the Saints at least appear to be open to the idea of a quarterback outside of their building being the quarterback of the future. What do y'all think about this? The Matt Stafford thing, my thoughts, I don't think they have enough money to afford it. They're already over the cap. They'd be adding, you know, another high-dollar guy into the locker room. I don't know if they got the resources to make that happen. I think that may be a little bit of a pipe dream. But Mac Jones, I mean, are we thinking maybe that first round pick could be a signal caller if the right, you know, guys fall to the right places in the draft? What are y'all thoughts as y'all see those two pieces of news break out this week?
My thought is you have a lot of weapons that, I mean, you can just get rid of to make, like Cam Jordan. Like, you got to cut him or you got to trade him. And he coming off a Pro Bowl season, which in my opinion didn't think he should have made the Pro Bowl. Coming off a Pro Bowl season, so his stock is high. So you can trade back, and you could have like at least two picks in the first round. And yeah, like you said, Stafford, he's too much money. And people are telling me Carson Wentz, that's way too much money. Like, you don't have enough money to get those quarterbacks. So just get that out of your head. But
are we talking about them getting rid of Cam Jordan?
You have to either get rid of him or restructure his contract. And I mean, do you think he'll restructure his contract? I don't think so. So you either have to trade him or cut him. Because I looked into the cap space. It's ridiculous. Like, it's bad. It's so bad I had to stop reading it because I was getting so nervous.
Well, I would agree that it's bad, but I would also say that I don't think they're going to get rid of Cam Jordan. There's something that's going to be done to make sure Cam Jordan is still around. Matt Stafford is interesting. I think that the whole deal is that Jameis Winston's going to be your quarterback.
Yep.
But all of a sudden they see the situation with Matt Stafford and they're like, boy, that would have been nice if things could have worked out. The problem is I don't think things can work out. And talking to the kid from Alabama makes sense. I don't know that he should be a first-round draft pick to the Saints, but just talking to him doesn't. I see no problems with that. Interestingly enough, he's not, when you think of Drew Brees, and obviously here in New Orleans, we would love to get another Drew Brees in his prime type quarterback. And, you know, Mac Jones doesn't look like that kind of guy, yet he is not a runner. He's not a scrambler, and Brees wasn't that. And he seems to be very cerebral, and Brees was that. And I'm sure the guy has the tools to dump off the ball wherever he needs to dump it off, and Brees was that. And the one thing he probably is that Brees wasn't the last couple of years is a guy who's got the strong arm who can get it down the field. The interesting thing to me is we're talking about Jameis Winston, and I think that's who it's going to be, and that's just, you know, a gut feeling. Obviously, I don't know what I'm talking about when it comes to this. But all that being said, what happened, man? We don't even talk about Taysom Hill anymore. I thought he was going to be a quarterback for the Saints.
I'm out on him.
So it's gotten kind of weird as of late. So, I think Stafford's probably out, as you mentioned, Casey, with the money. And I think that, Jameis Winston is somebody they liked and maybe they kept hidden just a little bit this year.
Well, here's the thing, and we talk about finances, and one of the reasons why they may be kicking the tires on all these guys is Winston's a free agent. So What's to stop, you know, a team like the Jets or something like that who maybe likes Jameis Winston, and what's to stop them from outbidding the Saints for his services? So, you know, I could see where this thing gets crazy. Now, you know, we hear the talk of, you know, the Saints maybe kicking the tires on the high market guys, the Staffords and, you know, the Watsons and the guys that are going to be the cream of the crop on the market. What are your thoughts on them throwing a flyer at someone, be it a Darnold or someone who's never had any protection or never had any structure? Would you guys be open to that? Not necessarily handing them the starting job, but just taking a flyer on a guy like that.
I'm open to it because I always said, like, if you protect Darnold, I mean, he showed you he can make things happen if you protect him. Like, he has no protection in New York, so I mean, I'd be in for it because he's cheap. Because, like, right now, it's more of, like, we can't help y'all. Y'all got to help us. So, now, I'm all for anybody that's cheap. I'm good for it. But you got to show me that, like Darnold can show. Like, I've seen flashes in Darnold that I think he could be a good quarterback if he had protection.
Stan, what do you think about the dice roll possibility?
Well, listen, the other thing is that quarterbacks sort of have an it factor, and you know they have an it factor. I don't know if Darnold is necessarily one of those who has an it factor, so we would see how that would go forward. The other thing is talking about cap space and everything with that, it seems like it always gets taken care of.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
You're right.
So maybe, and you have a great point that if Jameis Winston was to move on, which I don't think is going to happen, because if it was going to happen, I think we'd start hearing rumors of teams that were interested in him. But if he does, and if that does come to fruition, I think it is smart to talk to all of these other guys. And I do think that cap space just seems to appear after a while. So I'm not ready to wholesale the Saints away, but I do realize it's going to be a different looking team.
Casey, I have a question. Like, I looked this up. I can't find it. It was like Drew Brees never gave the word if he retired or not. And like, and then I read a report. Mickey Loomis said, like, we're just going to wait on him. It's like, what? Wait on what? Did y'all not watch that last game?
He's not official, but when you see Jay Glazer say, you know, hey, he's done, then when you see the way he reacted after the game, going back out onto the field and playing with his kids on the field, like, I think he's given himself the right outlet to potentially, you know, make a return, but I don't see it happening. I think that was his last season. And for everything that you just said, physically, I don't know that he could do it for 16 games anymore, man. He looked broken.
17 now because they added another game.
Right. Yeah, well, I would say this, too, and I agree with y'all that he probably won't be back, but the longer it takes for him to make that announcement, I could tell you as a guy who was in coaching, and a lot of coaches feel this way too, you end the year and you think automatically at the end of that year, yeah, I'm done. I'm not coaching anymore. And then as time goes by and you start reflecting and you actually go back to it, you know, and that's what nothing would surprise me. How's that? That's what I'm going to say. Nothing would surprise me. I just hope that he understands, and I'm sure he does, and I'm sure he's working with Loomis and everybody related with the Saints, that, you know, you make these decisions in time to allow the Saints to make some decisions too. And I think that's the biggest thing going forward. And I think that's going to happen. But, listen, again, I wouldn't be totally shocked if he said, I'm going to try this again.
Okay.
That'd be very interesting. Gentlemen, we're going to talk a little bit of Super Bowl at the bottom of the show, but quickly some thoughts on the championship games, man. It looked like Tampa Bay was the better team in the NFC, just kind of won that one pretty smoothly. But, man, the Chiefs played beautifully, didn't they? If they replicate that same output on next Sunday, I don't know that Tampa could play with them, but That's why you got to play the game. You know, the Bucks have won 3 straight road games. They're playing great defense. I think it's going to be a great Super Bowl. What were you guys' thoughts on the championship games?
Well, I would say this related to Tampa Bay. If they would go back and play their first round game again, I think they would win easily. But if they had to play the Saints or the Packers in any kind of series, they could never beat them in a series. That's just a thought. Now, that being said, their quarterback makes them different.
Right.
And he did not have the greatest game in the world against Green Bay. But I have come to understand that there is something about Tom Brady. And I don't know what it is, but he's got it.
He's a good quarterback.
Obviously, he's very, very good. But, you know, Michael Jordan sort of dragged those guys around him to be great players. And Kobe Bryant did that. And he does that in football. Everybody around him. Heck, the defense of Tampa
right.
Bay got better.
Where'd that come from? Out of nowhere.
You know, and part of me just thinks they're playing for him. Maybe he made some kind of speech. Maybe it's, I don't know. And I was of the era early on when Belichick coached for the Browns, right? And the Browns were horrible. And everybody thought that Belichick was a middle-of-the-road kind of coach. And then all of a sudden, he ends up at New England, and now he's, you know, arguably the best coach to ever coach in the NFL. And I'm starting to wonder if Tom Brady didn't have a lot more to do with that than I initially thought. So I even sent a little note to you, Casey, after that Tampa Bay game when they won this past week against Green Bay. I said, I'm never doubting that guy again. So all of this being said, and I know I said I'd never pull against the Chiefs all year long, it makes me wonder if Tom Brady's got enough magic to pull one more off in Tampa Bay. How about that for a story?
Yeah.
In Tampa Bay.
Gentlemen, look, we talk about Brady and he gets, you know, all the praise is deserved. Devin White is a man-child.
Yes, that's
Devin White is a man-child.
It's no longer LeVon David's defense. No longer his defense.
Yeah,
it's Devin White's defense.
15 tackles. He forces a turnover every week. If the ball's on the ground,
he's
picking it up and running the other way with it. The guy's a monster. And, y'all, I was looking at Devin White's player card thinking, yeah, he's 25, 26 years old. He's 22 years old. He is going to be a force in this league for the next several years. He's the anchor of that Tampa Bay defense.
I was,
you know what's funny, too? I look
him.
Back at those two games being the Saints game and then the Green Bay game related to Tampa Bay. And I see two plays, and those two plays, it's just that margin of error in the NFL that will cost you. I see two plays that forever, if you're a Tampa Bay fan, you could go back and say those are the two plays that got us in the Super Bowl. One is Jerry Cook fumbling the football, if y'all remember that play. And obviously most Saints fans will remember that play. The other one is that play right before halftime against Green Bay when they gave up the touchdown to Miller. And now that one you got to give Tom Brady a lot of credit on. I mean, you know, everything worked out for Tampa Bay in that one. But I don't know if they don't score, if Tampa Bay doesn't score that touchdown right at the end of the first half in that one, I'm not sure the games turn out the same. But all of that's, you know, I'm crying over spilt milk right now because Tom Brady made it happen. And it's really been something.
Yeah, I agree, man. It's hard to deny. You know, it's his first year with a new team at age 43, and he leads them to the Super Bowl. It's a team that, with pretty much this same core roster, didn't do anything a year earlier. So it's unbelievable. Let's go ahead and catch a break when we get back.
Stan? That dude's 43 years old. Does he look 43 when you look at him?
Stan,
amazing.
I saw a picture of I saw his rookie picture compared to now. He looks younger. He's reverse aging. He may not even have reached his prime yet.
Yeah.
That just goes to show, you know, the guy's unbelievable. Let's catch a break when we get back. LSU has made some coaching decisions. We'll break them down and more. It's the Sports Corner brought to you by TGMC Community Sports Institute on ESPN 100.3.
As a leader in the oil and gas industry, Joe Septic Contractors caters to oil field clients, offering vacuum truck service for offshore tanks, vessels, or treatment plants containing sewage or gray water. Their rental department offers state-of-the-art offshore portable toilets with cages and certified safety slings for easy maneuvering, also holding tank rentals and portable hand washing stations. So call Joe Septic Contractors 24/7 at 985-632-5592 in Cutoff, Thibodaux, Fouchon, and Abbeville, or visit their website at joeseptic.com. visit at viscom.net.
Easy, convenient, affordable. Lady of the Sea Family Medical Clinic in Cutoff, located directly in front of the hospital off of Highway 1 in Galliano, sees patients from 8 a.m. to 9 p.m. weekdays and 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. on weekends. Same-day appointments are available on weekdays, with no appointment necessary, beginning at 5 p.m. and anytime on weekends. The added convenience of a pharmacy at the same location makes it the best choice for patients in South Lafourche. We treat you like family at Lady of the Sea.
You have a pest control problem? Roundtree's Pest Control and Supplies has an experienced staff that can guide you with the products to use yourself for your home or business. They carry a full line of professional products for termites, mosquitoes, ants, wasps, fleas, bed bugs, mice and rats, or any other pest control needs you may have. That's Roundtree's Pest Control and Supplies. Call 985-475-3314. That's Roundtree's Pest Control and Supplies.
Coach Ed Ogeron has rounded out his football staff. It's the Sports Corner brought to you by TGMC Community Sports Institute on ESPN 100.3. Durante Jones will be the new defensive coordinator in Baton Rouge. He's a little bit of an unknown coming from the Minnesota Vikings, where he was a defensive backs coach. And before that, he was a secondaries coach with the Bengals. And the tie-in to LSU is he worked with Dave Aranda at Wisconsin in 2015. He was a defensive coordinator at Bowie State from 2005 to 2009. And, Stan, I'm curious to ask you this. I know that you get around and talk to coaches a lot. He was at Franklin High School in 2003, Generette High School 2004, and at Nichols in 2002. So have you ever met Coach Jones, or do you know anybody who knows Coach Jones? Because, I mean, that's pretty close to our area, Generette, Franklin, Nichols. I mean, obviously, he's been on the Bayou, you know, coaching here at the high school and college ranks. Do you know anybody who's connected to this guy?
Not at all. He coached for Coach Day when Darryl Day was over at Nichols State. And Coach Day is just a wonderful guy, but I hadn't talked to Coach Day in quite some time. I will tell you what I did do, though, Casey. I went up and looked up Franklin High School and Generette High School's defensive stats when he was there. And let's say I wasn't overwhelmed, so to speak. I looked at their record and how many points they gave up in each game. Now, obviously, that was a long time ago, and the only thing we can do is sit back and trust the word of Coach Aranda, who speaks volumes of this guy, and a lot of other people who do, and Coach Zimmerman with the Vikings, who I understand that if you work for him, you learn so much about defense. So I'm going to trust that these guys know what they're talking about. I will say this, though. If you listen to any of the national pundits out there, they'll talk about the two hires that LSU has made, well, actually three, two guys on offense and one guy on defense now to sort of lead their offense and defense. And you're going to hear that, oh, what a great hire. I mean, have you ever heard of a college that didn't make a great hire of an offensive or defensive coordinator, right? They always make great hires. Heck, last year at this time, we were raving that they were picking up Bo Pelini, right?
Yep.
So we won't know until the future. That's one thing. So I'm not here to tell you it's a great hire or not a great hire, but I do like what I do like about it, and we've spoken on this a little bit. I like the young aspect of it. I think the game certainly has changed. I think, you know, we talked about Tom Brady playing at 43. Obviously, in 1975, you couldn't play till 43 at the quarterback position because it wasn't built that way. Football's not built like it was in 1975 or 1985 or 1995 or even 2005. So I do like that he's getting these guys who seem to be sort of up with the times. Not only time is going to tell how it all plays out.
So what makes me feel better about this was earlier in the week, excuse me, I was a little bit nervous. You know, you get this guy who's never been a Power 5 defensive coordinator before. You know, that kind of makes me nervous. And then you go back and look and see some of the high school stuff and, you know, wherever it may be. Look at the Vikings this past season. Their secondary wasn't any good. That kind of makes you nervous. What makes me feel a little bit more comfortable is the second hire that they made this week. You get Miami's defensive coordinator, Blake Baker, to be your linebackers coach. So now you know Coach Jones has a guy to kind of fall back on, to lean on a little bit, to kind of ease this transition. Miami had not a great defense, but they were solid. They were in the top 50 nationally in defense. So you get their defensive coordinator to come take your linebacker coach position. So you got you beef up the staff a little bit there. And then one of the hires that I really, really like that they made this past week is you get defensive line coach Andre Carter in. You guys are going to remember Andre Carter from when he was an NFL player. He played, you know, for several years in the NFL. From what I hear from, you know, folks who know about this stuff, he is a fireball. He is very intense, very enthusiastic on the sideline. He was with the Jets this past season coaching under Greg Williams. So that'll tell you right there that, you know, he's going to have some intensity about him. So they're getting younger as a staff. They're getting more energetic as a staff. And I'm curious to see what it looks like. You know, you got to be open-minded. But that, you know, look, I retired my card to be able to judge these hires whenever I was telling everybody that Bo Pelini was going to work out. So I thought that was going to be a slam dunk. It was everything but. So I will, like Stan said, refrain from judgment. I will let it play out and may the chips fall where they may. But I have proven 12 months ago whenever I said Pelini was going to work that I don't know what the heck I'm talking about. So I'll trust the people in the decision-making powers at LSU.
Well, then let me ask you this one. I heard this from a national pundit who is a guy who is very big in the broadcasting world, although a lot of people don't necessarily have a lot of faith in what he says. But he said, you know, I know LSU swung and missed a couple of times, but now they have Coach Jones, and I think they got so lucky that they got the best of all of the choices they could have had. And when he said that, I immediately thought to myself, what do you think, Stan? And I really think Marcus Freeman was the guy, you know, the first guy. Yeah. That's the guy, if I would have had my choice and somebody would have said, who do you think would be the best pick, that's who I would have said. So it made me feel good that somebody out there nationally certainly has that much faith in this guy. On the other hand, I don't think that, you know, I don't want to say we're putting lipstick on a pig right now, because that's not what I'm saying. I'm not. This might work out really well in the long run. But I do think there were a couple of swings, and we truly missed a couple of times going forward with this. And, you know, we'll see how it all works out. I'm sure the guy from the Saints would have been pretty good, too, but that seems to have really calmed down quickly. So we move forward, and we hope for the best.
The only thing that worried me a little bit about Freeman, and it's not even really a worry because I think he would have done a great job, it's that if Marcus Freeman comes to LSU and turns a defense that was atrocious into a top 20 defense, you're having him 1 year. He's going to be the head coach at Texas Tech. He's going to be the head coach at whoever gets, you know, gets their head coach fired in the next season. Durante Jones, who's going to be coming to LSU, it's going to be his first year being a coordinator. If he turns that defense around, yeah, he may eventually start to get those looks, but I think it would take 3 or 4 years. Now, that's not to say that, you know, hey, we wouldn't have wanted to have the top 20 defense under Coach Freeman. I'm just saying there's the potential for a little bit of longevity, and I don't think that's ever a bad thing.
And listen, we should be looking at the glass half full with the way LSU finished their season and what could happen possibly going forward. But just to take 1 second to look at it half empty, there have been a lot of coaches that have turned over at LSU in the last 4 or 5 years. It's been really, when you sit and take a pencil and pad out and start saying, okay, this guy was here, this guy was let go, this guy decided to go on his own, this guy did this, it's a little scary. So there needs to be some sort of consistency, and it starts now, because I don't think there's a whole lot of more chances out there, if you know what I mean.
You're right. And the one thing that is kind of being underreported and not talked about a whole lot is Coach Ogeron did something that is kind of innovative. He hired a general manager this offseason, and it's a guy that I think should get a lot of credit for their national championship run, but that doesn't. They hired Austin Thomas to be the GM of the program. He's going to oversee the breakdown of the roster and, you know, figure out, hey, we're soft here, we got to get this, we got to get that, and all that good stuff. Thomas was with LSU from 2013 through 2017, and a lot of those players who were sophomores and juniors on that 2019 team, your Jamar Chases, your Jeffersons, your linemen, you know, Rashard Lawrence, Braden Fihoko, he had a hand in recruiting and signing a lot of those guys. So he was part of building a great roster here. Once he's now back in the position, he had gotten poached out of LSU in 2017. Back now, I'm excited about having him, because that's the one kind of Achilles heel that Ogeron at times falls in love with, you know, hey, we're going to sign stars, but not necessarily needs. And, you know, we saw it a little bit with this past class, not getting a ton of offensive linemen. But I think that that, you know, kind of was alleviated by all of the offensive linemen that could have left returning to school. Maybe he knew that and we didn't at the time. But I think having a guy to kind of be your accountant of your roster, I think, is big in college football. And I think even so much as 10 years from now, all of the major college football programs are going to have a GM like this, much like they do in the NFL.
Boy, that's ironic that you're mentioning that, because earlier in the week I was talking with a TAF member and we were just chatting, and he brought up Mr. Thomas and said, you know, that Bay's got his general manager back. And I said, you know what that guy's title actually should be? His title should be oversight administrator. Yeah. He's the guy who looks at everything and says, wait a minute, I realize you have 6 4-star linebackers, but you don't have one, you know, 4-star or 5-star defensive lineman, or whatever the case may be. He's kind of your guy who keeps things in perspective, and they say he's very, very good at it. So, yeah, I would agree with you. That's going to be big for LSU.
So let's go ahead and catch a quick commercial break. When we get back, I'm excited to talk about this next segment. We've got a whole bunch of Nicholls stuff going on, and we kind of have not talked a whole lot about their basketball team. We'll talk about that next. We'll talk about some football, because, you know, they're, you know, opening up camp and getting ready for the season. It's an exciting time to be a Colonel. In the coming weeks, we're going to try to have Doobie on, Coach Clouch on, Coach Rebo, Coach Schilling, Coach Thibodeau. We'll try to get you covered with your Colonels, and we'll talk about all the things going on in Thibodeau in the next segment. It's the Sports Corner, brought to you by TGMC Community Sports Institute on ESPN 100.3.
The largest diamond store in Louisiana has one of America's largest selections of engagement rings.
But you aren't restricted to just that huge selection.
We also encourage you to look online
and bring us engagement ring images on your cell phone.
When you've got it narrowed down to just one or two that are almost perfect,
show them to us. Together, we'll figure out how to make it just a little bit different,
so that you can have a custom,
one-of-a-kind,
unique-in-all-the-world engagement ring.
Unique-in-all-the-world. I like the sound of that.
And everyone she knows is going to love the look of it.
Creating custom, one-of-a-kind engagement rings has been in the Ramsey's DNA since before I was born.
Our father, Bob Ramsey,
my grandfather,
was hugely famous for his custom rings way back in the 1950s.
We're just continuing the family tradition.
Come to Ramsey's and look around.
You're going to like being here.
You're going to have fun.
The largest diamond store in Louisiana is Ramsey's Diamond Jewelers on Veterans between Bonneville and West End in Metairie.
Need to see a doctor but don't want to leave the comforts of your home? Terrebonne General Medical Center telehealth is your answer. Our clinics provide same-day virtual appointments. Our highly trained physicians and nurse practitioners are committed to using leading-edge technology to better serve patients navigating the new normal. 70% of patients using virtual appointments for the first time comment on how easy it is to set up. All you need is a smartphone, tablet, or home computer. Visit tgmc.com/mychart to learn more.
This is Greeny.
Do the Eagles become a highly desirable job? And the answer, for most of the obvious reasons, is no. They're in salary cap hell. They have a terrible aging roster where they're mostly bad in a lot of places. They have comparatively few good young players. And they have a full-fledged quarterback controversy on their team.
Greeny with Mike Greenberg. Weekday mornings at 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio. And watch exclusively on ESPN Plus.
There's a big, big college basketball game in the Southland Conference today, and it involves our Nicholls Colonels. It's the Sports Corner here, brought to you by TGMC Community Sports Institute. Nicholls is 7-1 in the Southland. They are trailing just one team right now in the standings. That would be Sam Houston, who's 7-0. Coincidentally enough, that's the only team to have beaten Nicholls so far in conference play. That was in the first Southland game. It was an 84-81 game out on January the 2nd. Those two teams meet again. Nope, I'm sorry. I spoke wrong. Nicholls is on a conference bye. They're going to be playing February the 6th, next Saturday, against Sam Houston. I apologize for that mistake. I just saw Saturday on the calendar and thought it was today. But anyway,
hey,
Nicholls is next.
Listen,
go ahead.
Same thing with me, Casey. Last night I did Friday Night Sports. I did the same exact thing. We're just so programmed to see that Saturday on there, and I thought it was, and I was like, man, huge game for Nicholls State, and the guys in my earpiece telling me, no, it's not. It's next Saturday, so we both got that one.
Birds of a feather make mistakes together. Nicholls will be taking on Sam Houston next Saturday, but doesn't change the segment at all. Nicholls is rolling, man. They have won. Let's count them. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 games in a row. They're scoring just a ton of points, 70, 80, 90 points. They've got talent on their roster galore. And Brian talked whenever he was on about Ellender, how they doesn't matter who scores as long as the Patriots score. Nicholls got the same thing going. They've got a lot of balance in their offense. They got three players who average double figures, and a fourth averages 9.3 points per game. Coach Clash, look, I'm going to eat some crow here. Whenever Coach Riley left, I had ideas for other people for that position. They handed it to Coach Clouch, who I didn't know much about. I was wrong. I didn't think he was right for the job. I thought he was too young, too inexperienced. He's doing a wonderful job carrying forward Coach Riley's start and in this journey of turning this program around. And that's a good basketball team. I don't know if they're going to win next Saturday against Sam or not. I don't know if they're going to win the conference or not. But it's exciting every year to have a team that's capable of winning the conference in Thibodaux again.
So a couple of years ago, after Coach Riley had decided that he was going to move on to South Alabama, I was doing one of the Sports on the Bayou programs and sitting with a couple of Nicholls coaches at the table. And they went over to Coach Clonch, who was at another table, to interview him. And when he stood up and he started talking, I looked over at the coaches that I was with from Nicholls and said, oh, my goodness, he looks like he's 12. And they turned to me and they said, listen, I mean, just straight up looked at me and said, watch. And I was like, okay, I'm not quite sure what that means. Well, now I certainly understand what it means. He is doing a terrific job with that team. Listen, when you have a roster like that, you and I got to see a couple of years ago a kid named A.J. Rainey who played for H.L. Bourgeois who can shoot from anywhere on the court. And, he was like, unbelievable. He can't even sniff the court right now with Nicholls. So that being said, that's a really good basketball team. And they're getting stronger, and that game against Sam Houston is going to be something else. Don't be surprised if we see the Colonels in the NCAA tournament. I think they can win the conference tournament and get in.
I agree. I agree with that wholeheartedly. They've got a big stretch coming up, three straight road games, so we'll see how they handle that. I also want to brag about our good friend Doobie, because Nicholls is 5-2 on the women's side in the conference, and they've won two straight. If you look at the roster before the season, I'll be honest, and Doobie, if you're listening, I apologize. I didn't know how good of a year it was going to be. You're replacing some players. You're very young. You've only got one senior, and I'm thinking, okay, this is going to be a team that's going to kind of be in the middle of the league. But no, they're still in the upper end of the league. They've got this Chelsea Kane, who's a sophomore, doing big things every game. They've got, so many talented players. Terrace McKay from Ellen, they're doing big things. And I always tell this story, and people now, because it's been so long that they've been successful, people now don't even believe it. Whenever I got into the area, first reporting on sports in home out of college, that was 2009. The Nicholls women's basketball program was something like on a 30 or 40 game losing streak. They would win one or two games a season, if that. Most of the games stand, even the conference games, they would lose by 50 and 60 points. They would get blasted. They were akin to Nicholls football at the end of the Stubbs era before Rebo took over. But what Doobie has done to make this program an annual contender is remarkable, and it doesn't get talked about enough. It's remarkable, and they have once been to the NCAA tournament. If you would have told me in 2009, whatever, young 22-year-old reporter me was reporting on Nicholls women's basketball, that team would make the NCAA tournament ever, I would have laughed. But now they're in contention for it every year.
Yep, and she is such a character person, too. If you ever meet her, her character is impeccable, and I don't think the best is there yet. I think there are a lot of young ladies on that roster who have sort of shifted around, especially due to COVID just recently, but a couple of international players who are going to be, I think, stars on that team in the future, that I don't think this is sort of the pinnacle, even though it's getting really good and they're putting together wins here and they always get better at the end of the year. I agree with you 100%. She has been a jewel for Nicholls State University, absolutely no doubt about it. And remember, One of her assistants now is Cassidy Barrios, who we've talked to a couple of times on the show, and she does a great job also with that team. So a lot of home flavor. I think there's a chance. Well, wouldn't it be nice if both the men's and women's programs could both get into the NCAA tournament?
Yes, and on the flip side of that, either way, won't it just be nice to have an NCAA tournament this spring after not having it at all last year?
Yeah, I am so excited about everything that's happening over there, and it only gets better because now you have that success in basketball that's going to start to mix with all of these new sports that are starting, both the traditional spring sports and the untraditional fall sports that are starting. That campus is going to be something else going forward, no doubt about it. And I had the opportunity to talk to Tim Rebo yesterday, and Coach Rebo and them actually picked up a game for a Friday night, which will be interesting. Friday, February 19th, which is only, you know, what, 2.5 weeks away. And that being said, it's going to be fun to have the full gamut of just about any sport you want to go see. It's going to be held on the campus of Nichols going forward this spring.
So let's talk some football. Our friends at the Comet wrote a story this past week about how Nichols has five quarterbacks who are all competing for the starting position out in Thibodeau. Had a little bit of intel from somebody, you know, who's been at the practices, tell me that Lindsey Scott looks really good. You know, a very experienced player, 5'11", 220. I'm hearing good things about Robinson. I'm hearing great things about Cohen Granier. Colin Guggenheim was a championship quarterback at John Kearse. Leonard Kelly was a championship quarterback at Edna Carr. It's a good problem to have, man, when you got five dudes who all have a winning pedigree. I'm looking at it here. The only one of the five who didn't win a state championship in high school is Robinson. And all the others, I think Granier led Destrahan to the title, or if not to the title, to the Dome. Guggenheim wanted at Curtis. Kelly wanted at Carr. Lindsey Scott wanted at Zachary. Guys with winning pedigrees under center, man, you can't beat that. I'm curious to see how that battle goes out.
Yeah, and remember, Robinson didn't really get the opportunity to play his senior year because at Hornville, yeah, they may have been a contender that year also. In speaking to Coach Rebo yesterday, he said they are not ready to name anybody, and everybody has looked good. The one, I guess, tidbit I got out of it that I thought raised an eyebrow just a little bit for me, and I do not in any way, shape, or form think that he's going to be a starter, but I think there's going to be a day at Nichols State where this guy is going to be something, is a kid from Carr. He mentioned how good and how well he was doing already there on the campus at Nichols. So, again, if you're having that kind of problem, you're having a great problem. And for you folks who have never had the opportunity to go see a Nichols game in, say, the last 5 years, do yourself a little favor and get out there. You're going to see a guy like Deshaun Dixon playing wide receiver, who I'm telling you is going to be on an NFL roster somewhere.
Yes, he will.
I'm not saying he's going to be a star, but he's going to be on an NFL roster. And you're going to see Julian Gums, who, heck, he may very well be on an NFL roster too. And you're going to see an offensive line that is just a go-get-it kind of group. And I got to tell you, it's a lot of fun to watch. I know we're in a pandemic where there's going to be social distancing and only a certain amount of people are going to be allowed in the stadium. But that not being said, I hate to say this and equate it to the bad old days of Nichols when there wasn't that many people in the stadium. If you use both sides of the stadium, because sometimes the student side is not full, I still think you could get a good crowd in there, and I think it's going to be a lot of fun. And I look forward to it. It's the first time I'm excited about spring football. Usually spring football is a job kind of thing, you know, where you're just trying to get better, but you don't get really excited. This spring, I'm excited.
So here's something that I just did while we've been discussing this segment. Take a stab at how many non-Louisiana players are on the Nichols roster right now.
Give me a roundabout number, if you don't mind, Casey, of we're probably talking about, what, 100 kids? Maybe somewhere between 80 and 90 kids?
Yeah, I'd say about 80, 90 kids.
I would say there are five kids that are not from Louisiana.
You're actually very close. There are seven non-Louisiana kids, and there are literally no one that you're like, usually you'd see a college roster. They'll be the stray guy, the outlier from like Wyoming or something. If the kid's not from Louisiana, from Mississippi, Alabama, or Texas, It is unbelievable how local this roster is. I knew that it was like this, but I didn't realize just how local it was. Man, you're seeing – I'm scrolling through the roster now. It's New Orleans, Baton Rouge. You know, there's not anybody from outside the Bayou region by and large, man. There's a few outliers here and there, but it's a collection of high school talent. So much St. James, Flavor River, Flavor Bayou, New Orleans. Everything is within a – 3-hour jog, a driver and a pitching wedge from Thibodeau. He has done a great job building this team. It's amazing to see 7 guys on the roster, non-Louisiana. Back at the end, whenever he took over this roster, there were maybe 30 or 40 guys from Louisiana. It was guys sprinkled from all over, but he has made really centralized on that little zone, that 3-hour radius from Thibodeau, and he has hammered that area.
There's another kid, and I don't know where he's going to end up going, but I know that Nichols is on his radar, and that's a quarterback from Alexandria High. And you and I both talked about what a run Alexandria made this year. And this guy, I think, is first-team All-State as far as the Louisiana Sports Writers Association goes. And I'm starting to wonder, you mentioned all of these state championships for these quarterbacks out of there. That might be part of the recipe for Tim Rebo and his staff is we want winners in here. We want guys who can compete. They may not be your 5-star or 4-stars out there, but we're going to give them the opportunity. And he did mention this, too, yesterday because I sort of stuck my foot in my mouth and I said, hey, what's it going to be like to not have a Chase Fourcade after all of this time? And he says, no, Chase is right there on campus, man. Chase is actually coaching his quarterbacks. So Chase Fourcade's still going to have a part in this Nichols State football program going forward, and I think that's kind of neat also.
Nichols baseball, really quick before we wrap up, 20 days until the start of their season. Noteworthy is going to be the way the Southland Conference baseball schedule is going to work. They're going to play a Friday game and a Sunday game and then a Saturday doubleheader. So every Southland Conference series will be 4 games. Just trying to get more games in. They're going to be limiting their midweek schedules. I know Coach Thibodeau told me early in the pandemic that he liked, you know, the fact that he was able to get a lot of these guys back, some of his seniors back. He really was excited about where last year's club was headed before they got shut down. So I'm curious to see how this all plays out for them. And you know, they've got Wes Toops in there who's going to be hopefully swinging a big stick. Mason Turner will be back. And I think that the Colonel baseball team is going to be highly competitive this coming season.
Yeah, Xavier Washington from Terrebonne High going to contribute to that team also. Another thing that came up, my understanding is that they were taking on Youngstown State, and LSU had a team that could make it in because we're going to have to get used to this scheduling just being off the wall kind of thing. And yeah. I understand that Coach Maneri and Coach Thibodeau have such a good relationship that they kind of talked it out, and there might be a round robin between Nichols State, Youngstown State, and LSU. Not sure if that's going to be in Thibodeau or at LSU. I would imagine maybe it's going to be at Alex Box. But nonetheless, a lot of baseball coming up. Excited for that. Remember that Friday night game for football that I talked about when Nichols opens up on the 19th? There's a baseball game that afternoon. I think it's a 2 o'clock start time, and then the Colonels will be on the football field that night. What a great day for a sports fan from Thibodeau that day.
No doubt about it. I'm looking at the roster. Devin DeSandro, I forgot that he'd made his way out there. So a collection of local high school talent now making their way to the Colonels. Let's go ahead and catch a break. When we get back, we're going to talk about the Super Bowl some. We kind of teased it a little bit earlier in the hour, but we're going to kind of break down the matchup. It's the Bucks and the Chiefs. It's going to be in Tampa Bay. Looking forward to it. It's the Sports Corner brought to you by TGMC Community Sports Institute on ESPN 100.3.
Avenue Wine & Spirits has one of the largest and most diverse wine and spirit selections in the city. At 2025 St. Charles Avenue, Avenue Wine & Spirits has some of the rarest bourbons, wines, and Japanese whiskeys, like 18-year-old Yamasaki. Avenue Wine & Spirits sells wine by the glass, and they've got free delivery for orders over $20. Dial 504-522-3864. Never show up empty-handed to a watch party again. Avenue Wine & Spirits, 2025 St. Charles Avenue.
Some people just have a knack for being there when you need them the most. Like your third grade classmate who sticks up for you against that bully. The neighbor who gives you a jump start. And the friend who chases away that flock of geese at your outdoor wedding. Your State Farm agent has your back too, through good times and the not so good. And who's got your agent's back? State Farm, the company people have trusted for more than 90 years.
We're here to help life go right.
Call State Farm agent Ashley Barrios and cut off today at 985-632-0988.
When you're sick, you want to be close to home. World-class medicine doesn't require a trip to the city because the best care is close to home at Thibodeau Regional. We're continually adding new services, and our team of physicians has grown to more than 250.
That's a lot of doctors.
More doctors, more services, treating more conditions.
And keeping more families healthy.
World-class medicine, right here, close to home at Thibodeau Regional.
This is Bart and Hahn.
Stephen A. Smith is joining us for the first time in a long time. Spoke with some great optimism about the Knicks.
If you know anything about Tom Thibodeau, he lives, eats, and breathes basketball. The New York Knicks are a top five defense in the league. They're not winning because somebody's playing spectacularly. They're winning because they're playing hard. And you can rely on Tom Thibodeau teams to play hard. I like that.
Bart and Hahn, weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio and on ESPN Plus.
I said this last week whenever I was picking Tampa Bay to beat Green Bay. I went back to week 13 of the NFL season, and something that I heard from Tony Romo at the end of the Chiefs-Buccaneers game. The Chiefs played the Bucs late in the regular season. Kansas City got out early because Tyreek Hill went bonkers. The Chiefs led that game going into the fourth quarter. But in the fourth quarter, Tampa Bay got a couple of scores, looked good, and actually had a chance to come back and rally in that one, and they lost 27-24. But remember, at that time, Tampa Bay was kind of reeling. They were 7-5, and there were questions about how well Brady fit with Arians, and there were even some public spats between the two. Brady wanted some different formation alignments. Arians was not giving them to him, and there was kind of some issues. But in the fourth quarter of that game, they started to click, and they started to run more of that closed-in formation that Brady wants that they were using in New England, and they found some success, and they haven't lost a game since. And what I lead off this segment with was a comment that Tony Romo made at the end of that game. He said, Tampa Bay's got it figured out. There's a good chance we're going to see these two teams in the Super Bowl. Lo and behold,
yep,
that's exactly the matchup that we've got. We've got the Chiefs and the Buccaneers in the Super Bowl. Tony Romo called it hammer on the nail. And we're going to be seeing that rematch. And the Bucs took them a little while to figure it out. They started 7-5. They ended the regular season hot. They've rolled through the playoffs, but they've got it there. And now they're going to be taking on the big Goliath, the Chiefs, who are going to be looking for a repeat.
And I don't know what to say about this, but I have such a conflict of thinking where I said early in the year, and you guys will remember this, that I will never pull against Kansas City. That's the wrong statement. I will never pick against Kansas City. I just think Kansas City is too talented offensively, and they have enough defense to make it happen. And then all of a sudden, Tom Brady sort of goes off on this little run here in the playoffs where I made a comment last week to somebody, I will never doubt Tom Brady again. So it's a little bit of a conflict, but I would still say, and I'll still say this about the Saints game and about the Green Bay game. If the Saints play well and don't turn the ball over four times, they win. If Green Bay plays well and doesn't give up a silly touchdown right before half, they probably win. I can't say that about the Kansas City opponents. I think Kansas City just pretty much handled their opponents, and I still think there is no way Devin White being as good and really coming on as well as he has done to end this season, I don't see them stopping Kansas City. So I don't know if we're at our pick'em part of it yet, but I think Kansas City will probably win the game.
Yeah, we'll save that for next weekend. But the first matchup, Tyreek
Hill
had 13 catches. What's that?
You give me the opportunity to change my mind. Thank you so much.
You've got 7 more days to stew on it.
To ponder over this. But get back to your point. What did you say about the catches?
Yeah, so the first matchup, Tyreek Hill had 13 catches for 269 yards. Willie, how in the heck is Tampa Bay going to stop that from happening again? And more importantly, and this is the dilemma, and this is the question that I want to pose. On one hand, it's easy to say, okay, well, we're going to not let Tyreek Hill beat us this time. Well, then if you focus too much on him, Travis Kelce is going to get 13 catches for 200 yards. So that's the dilemma. How do you slow down the weapons of the Chiefs?
you can't. Like, you just can't. Because, I mean, I'm not going to say I watched the Chiefs. Watched the Chiefs all year. I mean, I watched whenever they were on TV after the Saints. I watched them. I watched them during the Saints game. It's just so much they can do. Like Kelce, you got Tyreek Hill. They got Clyde Edwards-Helaire back. Le'Veon's not really been himself, and you have like they have some other good receivers. Like you got, I don't think Sammy Watkins played, but they got Robinson. The guy fumbled on. The guy muffed the punt, and then they have the coaching is great too because. You somebody muff a punt, their head's out of it. His head was out of it. Then you know what Andy Reid did? We're gonna get you back into this
game.
Give
the ball.
We're gonna give you the ball. You're gonna score a touchdown. And that's what happened. It just the Chiefs are just that good. I just don't. I mean, I said this the last 2 weeks, but I just don't see Tampa Bay beating the Chiefs. I just don't see it.
Let's say this too: if you don't have a dog in the hunt and you're an LSU person or a Louisiana person. The two best running backs in Kansas City right now are from LSU, and that would be Darrell Williams and Clyde Edwards-Helaire.
Right.
So that's something to pull for. And the guy who sort of gets lost, and I know he used to get publicity all the time, but, you know, that's Tyrann Mathieu in the backfield for Kansas City, who is their leader on defense. And then, you know, there's always that sentimental thing with Elijah McGuire, who is on the practice squad, and he's from right here in Houma. From Kansas, who is with Kansas City now. So, you know, you have that. But then again, I guess you got Devin White and those guys, Leonard Fournette playing for Tampa Bay. So a lot of Louisiana flavor in this Super Bowl.
So on one hand, the instinct would be to say, if Brady wins, you know, he's going to step away. He's going to go out on top. But we've seen this movie before. I don't think he's retiring.
No, he is
like,
not
I don't
retiring.
Think he's retiring.
He's playing too good for him to retire now. Like, I mean, people go out on top like Barry Sanders. But he went out for a reason. But Tom Brady, I don't see him. Like, if they win this Super Bowl, I don't see him retiring at all. Because he signed a 2-year deal. So I don't see him retiring.
Sure. Sean Salisbury said he made the comment recently that he sees himself going at least till 45. Well, that would mean 2 more years. And again, we talked about this earlier. If you see pictures of the guy now, Drew Brees does look a lot different than he did when he won that Super Bowl.
Right.
You know, when you see a Super Bowl picture and now, you see a little bit of age. I'm not saying a drastic change, but a lot less hair and such. But Tom Brady kind of looks the same. So, I don't know. Maybe he does come back for 2 more years. All I know is this. He could stop right now, and in my mind, he's the greatest ever. And I've never said that about any player on any level. I don't believe in saying that because it's too hard to compare in most cases. But in this case, I'll make the exception. He's really something. And I'm not a fan of New England, and I'm not a fan of Tampa Bay. But, man, you got to give the guy his props.
Let me put you guys on the spot. Brady's been to 10. Mahomes has been to 2. Brady's 43. Mahomes is 25. Is there any chance Mahomes gets to 10 in his career?
You took the words right out. I was about to say that. And I think I think so, man. That's like, because like I said, when I'm seeing Mahomes play the Saints, I'm like, thank God we play this guy every 4 years. Because I couldn't see myself playing him every year. It's just ridiculous. He's so good. And I see him getting to that, not 10, now I don't see him getting to 10. I don't know. I'm rephrasing. I see.
No, I don't.
At least five or six. I don't see him getting to 10. AFC is too good.
So he gets to 5. That's only half as many as Tom Brady did. I'm telling you, the style of play he has, Tom Brady's style of play and what you saw from New England was relatively boring. But Tom Brady understands that's how you win.
Right.
He also knows that Kansas City is very talented, and you can win, but it's a limited window of how you win what you do with Kansas City. I think the window's a little bit broader of how you do it with a New England and how they're doing it with Tampa Bay this year. So, you know, has a quarterback ever won it with two different teams? And I know that might be a really ignorant question, but I don't know that any has. So he's got a chance to set all kinds of records.
Peyton Manning has, but other than that,
oh, that's right, our guy Peyton. Yeah, I should have remembered that for sure.
Other than that, I don't know that anyone has. That'd be a good trivia to research in the past, the next week rather. Vegas thinks this is going to be a shootout. They are saying the Chiefs are 3-point favorite, over under 56.5, which is a lot of points. So you do that math. They think it's going to be like 31-27 for the Chiefs, something like that. I think that it could be a shootout, but I also see a world where Tampa says, we don't want y'all to have the ball, and they're going to run and try to control the clock and control time of possession. What say you? Do you guys think it's going to be a back-and-forth score fest or what?
You said if Tampa can control the clock, which I think they can do, it'll be like a 14-17 type game. But if they get away from that run game for one possession and go 3 and out, it's over with. It's over. Like it's going to be a 2-minute touchdown for Mahomes and the Chiefs.
And I would agree with you, Casey, too, that if they can control the ball, they could slow it down. But I still think Kansas City will be in the 20s. And I still think the Bucs are going to have to score more than, say, 27 points to win the game.
They got to score more than 27.
So we'll see how that goes. Next week, we're going to have a bunch of fun. Next week, our pick'em segment is going to be us picking the game, but also picking all of the crazy, stupid things you could bet on for the Super Bowl. We're going to do the length of the national anthem. We're going to do the coin toss, all that. How many times the word COVID-19 is mentioned in the broadcast? We'll do all those fun things to end our show next week. But we want to thank all of our coaches for being with us today. Coach Scott, Nate and his guys, and Brian Colley. And we want to thank everybody for joining us, as always, on Saturday mornings. Guys, it is an honor to give you guys 2 hours of a reprieve from everything that's going on in the world. So same time, same place next weekend. For Stan, this has been Casey. Thanks to Willie in the studio for pushing the buttons and getting us on and off the air. You guys have a blessed weekend. Beautiful weather out there. Enjoy that Louisiana sun. God bless everybody.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin.
You make the case for Deshaun. Where does he go?
Take the Super Bowl rings out of it.
Okay.
But he would be the best quarterback in the